This hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
From the Kingdom of Nye, we continue with your calls on Dreamland with Art Bell. Call Art now, toll free at 1-800-618-8255. 1-800-618-TALK. First-time callers, area code 702-727-1222, 702-727-1222, or the wildcard line at area code 702-727-1295, 727-1295 in the 702 area code. Now again, here's Art Bell.
The listeners to my regular weeknight program no doubt will appreciate this. Art, after listening to you and your guest and given our warlike disposition not to get along with each other, could Earth be your Dahmer Island, Fred Kogo? Yeah, sure it could, Fred. Dahmer Island is sort of an invention of mine, a place where criminals would be taken. Obviously, his theory that that all of Earth is some sort of Dahmer Island, that we are prisoners from some other place or time. One never knows. Let me begin this hour. We're going to take care of our commercial content here. If he's heard about the rock that was found in Death Valley by some rock hounds that, when cut in half, contained a ceramic diode, the rock was dated somewhere around 500,000 years ago. Michael?
I've heard about it. I haven't been able to get any very detailed information about that.
The clear implication of that would be either alien technology or technology once before developed by man, long forgotten, and now, of course, full circle. But it would suggest one of those two.
Well, I think you're absolutely right there. And the whole idea of cyclical time, things coming and going, is an idea that I'm very much in favor of. Actually, if you look at Aristotle, back in the time of the Greeks, he had the same idea. He said, the great inventions of human civilization have been made time and time and time again in the course of cyclical time.
Yes, you don't find that to be in competition with your hypothesis?
Not at all. As a matter of fact, it tends to match up with it. What we find, if you look at the entire history of archaeology and anthropology, is that you've got a very bewildering mixture of advanced artifacts and simple things, human bones and ape man-like bones, all mixed up going back hundreds of millions of years. And this is really what you would predict if there were a kind of cyclical pattern to this whole process that we're involved in.
All right, back to the phones. On the wild card line, you're on the air with Michael Cremo. Hi.
Yes, sir. From the Tri-Cities.
Tri-Cities, Washington, yes.
Yes. There's an anagram for some of these different for these artifacts out of time or something like that. I've read several books about this. The gold chain found with two lumps of coal at either end, and like an art school in France where you could see where somebody had made correction lines and stuff, and there were normal people wearing trousers and shirts with buttons and stuff like that. I was wondering if he had heard about any of this.
Yes, I have. Of course, that anagram you're talking about is Oop Arts, Out of Place Artifacts. And the gold chain, I've got a case of that in the book, The Hidden History of the Human Race.
Michael, and how do they generally dismiss what you're calling Oop Art? How do they dismiss it? As fantasy,
yes. Out of place artifacts.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, do they call it fantasy of people at the time, or what?
Well, in many cases, this has been so effectively suppressed that they hardly even know about it. They will try to say it's a hoax, it's intrusive somehow or other, it's slip down from some higher level down to some lower level, which is why in our book, Hidden History of the Human Race, we tend to concentrate on cases that are very well documented and where all these possible counter-explanations are dealt with.
All right, look, it really sounds like it's worth a read, and you haven't done it, so I will ask you to do it. Plug your book. How do people get a copy of The Hidden History of the Human Race?
Well, it's available in bookstores, and if it's not in a bookstore, we have an 800 number, 1-800-443-3361. That you can call during business hours during the week and order the book that way.
Let me give the number again. 1-800. How much is the book?
$22.95.
And it's a hardback. Very nice book. I've got it here. 1-800-443-3361. And increasingly, it sounds like it's well worth the read. I'd like to say I've read it already, Michael, but I will now dive into it. You've intrigued me. On the wildcard line, you're on the air with Michael Cremo. Hi.
Hi there. Mr. Cremo, you mentioned technology, or we were talking about technology just a couple minutes ago. Do you have any detailed information or any kind of information about what different kinds of technologies were used by man in his more advanced age as he was planted on the planet?
From the reports that you get from many ancient writings, it would appear they had some very advanced technologies.
Right.
From the ancient Sanskrit writings of India, you find what are called vimanas, or spaceships of various kinds.
Right.
We've actually got reports in from coal mines of polished stone walls being found in coal mines 2 miles deep underneath the ground. So from varieties of sources, whether we're talking about archaeology or ancient writings, it would appear that civilizations in the very, very distant past may have had technologies superior to those of today even.
Okay, and those technologies, would you know if they were more tied in with the natural forces of the earth rather than an artificial type of technology?
All right. That's good. In other words, were they in tune with the planet in some way that we were not, or presently are not, Michael?
Yes. Even if you go back a little bit in recorded history to the times of the Greeks and the Romans and personalities like that, you'll find that many times they got their technologies from higher beings. They didn't build factories on this planet to build them, but they would communicate with higher beings and receive technologies, more advanced technologies from them. So that kind of technology exchange has a long history on our planet. It may still be going on today, for all we know.
Faxed question for you, Michael. Do you think there's any indication that these extraterrestrial intelligences have guided or interfered with human history? Are you familiar with a book called The Gods of Eden by William Bramley?
That is a very common hypothesis. I think you'll also find it in Zachariah Sitchin and others.
Yes.
Where I might disagree with some of these accounts is that it's been going on much longer than they would suppose. In many cases, they tend to accept the standard idea of human evolution as it's printed in the textbooks, and then say at some fairly recent point in time you have some alien intervention that resulted in our human species as we know it today with our advanced civilization.
Could you give me a couple of examples of where you think they may have interfered, in effect, with human history?
Oh, if you look at the whole history of the human race, you'll see many accounts of divine interventions. Practically, the origin of every religion on this planet is attributed to some kind of intervention from some extraterrestrial source.
All right, well then, here's a hell of a question for you, Michael.
Okay.
If everything went to hell in a handbasket in Russia, which frankly is very unstable right now, with, as you know, at least 30,000 deliverable nuclear weapons, and somebody over there went out of their mind and did the unthinkable and launched their weapons against us, If there would ever be a moment for intervention, that would be it. Would you think the launch and the war would be successful? In other words, in ending the human race, or would there be intervention?
It's a very good question, Art.
Yes.
And I think this is something that comes up all of the time. I think there's something pretty much of a cosmic paranoia when we're confronted either with the type of event that you've described or the fears of what different kinds of alien beings might do.
Michael,
what I would say, this is where the cosmic hierarchy comes into being.
Right, well, let me add to it, Michael. Any right. species-threatening event, let's say that Ebola Zaire became airborne and it threatened to end the species. Same question. Would there be intervention prior to a species-threatening event?
In the case of any particular event, I couldn't say, but in general, in the ultimate sense, the forces in the cosmic hierarchy are at the top good. They're well-wishers to us, and in the end, in the final analysis, the powers of good that are watching over this whole hierarchy
yes.
will prevail. And I think even now they are limiting the influence of elements in the hierarchy that may not be so benign. And I think this is something we can all take comfort in.
All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Michael Cremo. Hi.
Hello, Art Bell. This is Roy from Everett, Washington.
Yes, sir.
I'd like to ask Michael if he's seen any evidence of Atlanteans in his work.
Ah, Atlantis. Yes, Michael. Your view on that?
Yes, of course, Atlantis is familiar to us from the ancient Greek writings as a sunken landmass that was previously inhabited by a race of people who had some advanced civilization. In the ancient Sanskrit writings with which I'm familiar, there are also descriptions of sunken landmasses that were previously inhabited. I think there's been some very good underwater archaeology done in the area of Bimini and the Bahamas, and where there do appear to be stone structures deep in the ocean. So, yes, I would be prepared to find evidence for sunken land masses that were once inhabited.
All right. East of the Rockies, your turn with Michael Cremo. Good evening.
Hi, Art.
Hi. Where are you, sir?
I'm in Oshkosh, Wisconsin.
Oshkosh. All right. Welcome to the show.
My name's Renzo.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Fine.
Well, Michael, I was wondering, I think that people feel that Bigfoot is connected to aliens because he's so hard to find.
All right.
I was talking about that a little bit earlier. That's exactly what I suggested.
Yes, and, well, I would give you my theory that if the UFOs or the extraterrestrials, Michael, are keeping track of all of us, they've got plenty of opportunity to do that with human beings, with cattle, with many of the things we hear about being abducted, but perhaps few opportunities to interface with Bigfoot because there are, I think arguably, very few Bigfoot creatures. So, obviously, anything connected to a UFO and a Bigfoot would be not a great surprise. There would be very few of them they could monitor. Wouldn't that be true?
They appear to be rare, although you do get sightings around the world in varieties of locations, and even on the east coast of the United States.
Well, I'm sure you do, but I mean, how many have you seen?
I have not seen any myself.
Same deal with me. So at least they've got to be fairly rare.
Right.
Uh-huh. All right. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Michael Cremo. Hi.
Yeah, I'm calling from Kogo.
Yes, sir.
And, okay, Mr. Cremo.
Yes.
From what I understand, okay, you're saying that, extraterrestrials have been coming down and affecting the evolution of man or actually creating man?
Very, very good question. As I was suggesting towards the beginning of the show, I think we are part of a cosmic hierarchy of beings, originally spiritual, and we've come down from an original position, original higher dimensional spiritual position, and we've been placed in a position in this hierarchy. And the way that we've gotten here is that we've been given bodies by beings higher up in the hierarchy by a process of reproduction. In other words, these beings higher up in the hierarchy, from descriptions you find in various ancient writings and also from evidence that we can see today, have bodies made of more subtle elements than we do.
All right, I'm trying to listen.
By a process of reproduction.
Yes, I'm trying to listen very, very carefully to what you're saying here, Michael. Are you saying that we were created by those beings? In most senses.
Well, our bodies have been, in other words, there's a process of reproduction that's going on.
If I could say one thing, the problem I have, we have vestigial parts in our body, like a tailbone, an appendix, I mean, useless stuff to us as Homo sapiens. And another thing, too, if man's been around this long, you know, why isn't there a fossil record of actual bodies back, you know, 500 million years ago?
Well, but there is, according to Michael Cremo, right, Michael?
Oh, that's, you know, we were talking about that human skeleton found in the coal mine in Macoupin County, Illinois. We got in touch with the Illinois Geological Survey, and we asked them, well, how old is the coal in that mine? And it's over, you know, it's 300 million years old. So we do have, you know, skeletons going back that far. And as far as these similarities with other creatures, that might just be a good design process where you start with a template, and then you simply modify it to get different creatures rather than building each one up from scratch. I think that's a very common thing in engineering and software, computer software. You don't try to invent the wheel every time, but you start with some template or model and vary it slightly. So you might expect to find, if you do have... say, as the ancient Sanskrit writings say, 400,000 types of human beings.
So we would simply then, in essence, be the Rembrandt work of some greater intelligence, some extraterrestrial intelligence. We would have been the final grand work to date of that intelligence, correct?
That may be giving too much credit. I'd say the higher...
Michael, I'm sorry. We're at a break point. We'll be right back. This is CBC.
This hour of Art Bell was recorded for rebroadcast at this time. Please do not call.
Well, on May 13th, we're going on vacation. Going to Hong Kong, China, into Red China, if you'd like to come along on that side trip, then Bangkok, and then back home. The whole thing will last about 8 days. Unfortunately, it is now on a space-available basis, which means you call the number I give you if there is any space left, or if they can find any, or if they have a cancellation, they will get you in. It's the name of the game. It's getting late. So if you would like to come along, I'll be there. My wife will be there. Bob and Sue Crane will be there. A lot of people are going to be there. If you'd like to come along, call 1-800-633-2732. That number is good at, I think about 8 o'clock in the morning Pacific Coast time. 1-800-633-2732. My guest is Michael Cremo. His book and his theory, The Hidden History of the Human Race. Actually, he represents it really as more than that, because he says he has evidence. Evidence of man being far, far older than anybody else can guess. And we'll get millions of years, or even hundreds of millions of years, or even billions of years, and we'll get back to him in just a moment. The human race has been around for over several
million or billion years, would it be out of the realm of possibility that we achieved advanced space travel before? And if so, why would we not leave the planet in time of disaster and later return to rebuild and bring that same technology? Therefore, we should be more advanced. Roger, in Sparks, Nevada. He's saying, why haven't we been back? In other words, if there was an earlier civilization that achieved space travel and went somewhere else, why have we not been back?
Well, I'd say to Roger, this has to do with the whole idea of cyclical time. As a matter of fact, from what we can see, and this appears to be even true geologically speaking, is that the Earth has in fact been through a series of devastations. We find this mentioned in many ancient writings, including the ancient Sanskrit writings of India. There are periodic devastations where advanced civilizations are wiped out. And then after that, there has to be a process, again, an extraterrestrial process of bringing the humans and civilization back to this planet again. And it just may be that right at the moment we're in a downswing in one of these vast cosmic time cycles where the level of civilization tends to be going down rather than up.
Well, let me sort of back that up, Michael. I do a daily talk show that deals with events going on a daily basis, politics, human behavior, and all the rest of it. And many times I have observed, and I feel many times, now I realize my observation span is very short. We are all mortal, and we don't have a lot of time to look at the bigger picture. But a lot of times, Michael, it seems as though our social behavior is deteriorating, as though socially we are devolving, not evolving. Would you comment?
According to the ancient Sanskrit writings, we are in what is called the Kali Yuga, which is, in this cycle of time, a period in which human behavior is predicted to devolve. So I wouldn't be surprised, and I've noticed some of the same things that you have in terms of these social trends over even short periods of time.
Well, I'm not sure that we have a long enough span to really make a valid observation. It's kind of shooting from the hip, but it does look that way at times, Michael, as though we are devolving. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with Michael Cremo. Hi.
Hi, this is Steve from Seattle.
Yes, Steve.
And I was just wondering, if the human race was supposed to be around for millions of years, that wouldn't we be more advanced now than we are?
It's a very good point. And, Michael, to add to what he just said, why has most of the technological development come so quickly here in the last 50 years, let's say?
Okay, so, Steve, I think we have become conditioned to what I would call the linear progressive time sense.
Yes, of course.
Where we think that everything goes from the simple to the more complex without a break. In other words, if it was older, it must be simpler, and if it's newer, it's more advanced, and in the future, things are going to become more and more advanced. This idea of cyclical time that I was talking about may be a more accurate reflection of what happens and over the long term in human history. And as I was suggesting just a moment ago, we may be in a little bit of a downswing right at the moment. Now, as far as what you were mentioning, Art...
Michael, it seems like socially we may be in a downswing, but technologically we appear to be chugging right along, and that's a fairly recent development. The last 50 years, technologically, it's really taken off.
Well, one way to look at this is that previously, a lot of the things that we do now with machines were previously done directly by people. In other words, they had the ability to see things at a distance Now, some people appear to have that even today as a, one of the extrasensory, you know, powers. Now, we may be duplicating that now that people are no longer able to exercise these powers through their physical organisms. We may be trying to duplicate them through technology. And that may not be an improvement.
It seems as though the powers we have, for example, to precognition is a good example. I've had one example of it myself, Michael, an experience of precognition. I definitely knew an event was coming. There's no question about it. Only one in my whole life. I've talked to other people who have had similar events. Is this a talent once held, now only occasionally to rise to the surface, or is it a talent we are now developing for the future?
It appears to be, if you look at the broad sweep of human history, even as it's recorded in our history books, that these powers were apparently much more common in previous ages. And if you look towards the beings that are a little bit higher up in the higher cosmic hierarchy in human beings, they seem to have these powers to a degree that we can only imagine. So it would appear that now we are in a condition where these powers, which are natural on one level, have become weakened. But they could be developed again.
Okay. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with Michael Cremo. Good evening.
Hello.
Hello.
This is Roy in Everett.
Everett, Washington. Hi, Roy.
That's right. I'd like to ask Michael Cremo if he believes that the mammals of the sea were brought from outer space.
All right, all right. The mammals of the sea.
Roy, I think all the living things on this planet have an extraterrestrial origin, ultimately. And this is an idea that the ancient Greeks had as well. For example, you had Plato talking about forms, ideal forms of all creatures originally existing on some higher dimension, and they're projected somehow down to this dimension and given physical form.
Let me throw a little.
So I think we've got to look off of this planet for the origin of all the species, whether we're talking about the mammals in the oceans or the ones walking around on the land, and I think there are all kinds of extraterrestrial contacts that have taken place.
Okay, let me throw a little monkey wrench maybe in all of this.
Okay.
Michael, how would you account for new species? Not only do some species, according to scientists, become extinct, but there are new species that appear on the planet. Now, are these carried down by our extraterrestrial friends, or are they just a product of nature and the evolution of mammals and all matter on this Earth? In other words, how did these new species get here?
On the wider cosmic scale, from the information that I've gathered from various sources, including the ancient writings of various countries, including the Sanskrit writings of India, is that there is a fixed number of species numbering in the millions on the universal level, and these may be imported to the Earth that we know on different time scales. In other words, somewhere, all of the species are always existing, but at any particular time and place, only some of them may be visible to us.
And through what means do they arrive here?
Sometimes by extraterrestrial means, sometimes by, you might call it, intradimensional means. It gets you to a whole area. We may not even be able to penetrate all the regions of this Earth. Something that we've heard down through history. For example, the Hopi Indians say that they've come up from four different levels below the Earth. In other words, there's some subterranean regions there that normally human beings and animals can't penetrate. So there may be dimensions even to this Earth that we're not able to penetrate, and perhaps some of these creatures enter and leave the world of our experience from these nearby regions.
Dimensional portals.
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, East of the Rockies, you're on the air with Michael Cremo. Hello.
Hi, my name is Nick.
Yes,
I live
Nick.
In Rockton, Illinois.
Yes, Nick.
Well, Michael, I tend to disagree with you. I think it's obvious that evolution happened by itself. Look at dogs and cats, and what's a hyena? You know what I'm saying? There's no animal, there's no plant. I would say that plants and animals evolved from one being that I would call God. And
well,
Art, I love
your
show.
We might have a disagreement if we see what the process is. If you're talking about because I would agree with you that there's God at the top of the hierarchy, and there's a process of descent with modification by which from one generation to another, all the creatures that we're familiar with this, familiar with on this earth, including ourselves, have been produced. Now, but that's not the kind of evolution that you'll find described in
the Bible.
In the
textbook,
the Darwinian textbook,
Darwinian or the Bible. So it argues it argues with both. And I take it, caller, you're uncomfortable with that.
Well, I'm looking at The Sex Contract right now by Helen E. Fisher. Have you read that?
I haven't. If you could tell me about it, I'd like to hear it.
Well, it's very informative. I like it a lot. It's kind of feminist view of how evolution went, but it's about sex as it went and how we evolved. But it basically, what I think is that if you look at chimpanzees and gorillas and orangutans and the regions they are today, you would see that the orangutans are near Asians and the chimpanzees tend to be more like white people and gorillas more like black people. And if you look at, say, Asians today and Indians, American Indians, and then look at Eskimos.
Well, I've never heard it quite suggested that way. That's very interesting. How would you respond to that, Michael, that there appears to be that connection to some of the major racial variations on the earth today?
Well, first of all, I don't accept that we have come from monkeys or orangutans or gorillas. The fossil evidence, the actual physical evidence that we document in our book, The Hidden History of the Human Race, shows that simply we've coexisted with these creatures for millions and millions of years. There's no physical evidence at all that we've evolved from them. So right from the start, I would have to respectfully disagree with the hypothesis being presented.
I am curious, Michael, see if you can answer this straight out.
Okay.
Do you find more fanatical resistance to your hypothetical, or I guess you could even suggest the evidence of the evolution of the human being, do you find more exception to it from the scientific or religious community?
You know, it's very interesting that I've been finding that I've been able to go all over the world, and I have been. I've been able to make these presentations to... I've been on Christian radio shows and television radio shows, and I find they're very receptive to the fact that I disagree with Darwinian evolution.
Okay, the question again, from which camp do you think you find more stringent objection, scientific or religious?
The most objection I have been finding is from those who are in the mainstream scientific establishment. That is where the most opposition that I have encountered has been coming from.
I would imagine imagine that would be true because at least your theories involve a concept of creation that the religious folks might be able to be more comfortable with than the scientific people. I see. All right. First time caller line. You're on the air with Michael Cremo. Hi.
Hi. This is Joe up in Reno.
Hi, Joe.
And it's a pleasure to call you, Art. I listen in every now and then whenever I can. And,
thank you.
I have a thought on this. The we're electrochemical devices. We're perfect androids, biochemical computers, if you really look at us in a big picture.
Sure.
And the electro being the spirit, the android, the movement, the device that moves around is the chemical. Who knows where it goes and stores, maybe in the ozone layer or whatever, but you could see how things could be, spirits could be implanted or beings could come into us through something like that. It's a very... tangible and logical way, and I wondered if Mr. Cremo had had any experience in dealing with it in that logic.
All right, it may be the last answer we have time for. Go ahead, Michael.
Yes, Joe, I think you mentioned something that's very important. It seems like if we want a good metaphor for the entire universe and our place in it, it may be like a virtual reality system on a computer.
Huh.
Now, if you know how those operate, that means you take somebody who's outside the computer and you hook up different devices to their senses, like you put little, what they call iPhones over their eyes, small video monitors.
That's right.
So that they it creates the sense of being involved in the computer world even though they're outside of it. So, in one sense, you could say that the person is being implanted into the virtual reality system inside the computer. So I think you're mentioning soul, and I think what we really are is we are souls who have been implanted by some system into the a virtual reality.
All right, that is where we're going to have to end it, Michael, very quickly because we're out of time. Where can they get your book?
The book is available by an 800 number, 1-800-443-3361. It's also available at Barnes & Noble and other book chains. Please
all right. Michael, it has been an absolute pleasure having you on the program.
Art, it's been a pleasure for me as well. Hope we get to talk again sometime.
Thank you, my friend. That's Michael Cremo and his version of the hidden history of the human race. To get a copy of this program, call 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. Thank you all, and we'll see you again next Sunday at 7 Pacific time. From the high desert, good night, everybody.
This has been Dreamland, a program dedicated to an examination of areas in the human experience not easily nor neatly put in a box. Things seen at the edge of vision, awakening a part of the mind as yet not mapped. Yet things every bit as real as the air we breathe but don't see. Please join us again next week at this time for Dreamland.